Good evening and welcome to the Tuesday, August 7th, 2012 City of Arroyo Grande Planning Commission meeting. May we have roll call, please?
Chair Ruth?
Here.
Commissioner Barnidge? Commissioner Keane? Commissioner Martin?
Here.
And Commissioner Spiro?
Here.
And please join Commissioner Spiro in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, agenda review. Does anyone see a reason to revise the order of the agenda? Okay, seeing none, I'll move on to community comments and suggestions. This is a time for members of the community to speak on items that are not on the agenda tonight, but that are in our purview. And I do have some speaker forms. And Michael Van Bellingham, would you please come up? And when you speak, if you could please state your name and your address for the record.
Michael Van Belligan, 751 South Elm Street, Arroyo Grande. This is pertaining to the applicant for the Pike Place apartment complex on Pike and Elm. I drafted up a letter here. We were trying to get a copy to the committee before, but we had a couple of delays, so I'll just go ahead and read the letter to you guys, and hopefully that'll keep things going pretty quick. Okay, to the Planning Commission of City of Arroyo Grande, committee members Elizabeth Ruth, Planning Commissioner Chair, Christine Barnidge, Planning Commission Vice President Chair, John Keane, Planning Commission, Jennifer Martin, Planning Commission, and Lisa Spectro, Planning Commission. After attending the Planning Commission public hearing of July 17, 2012, for the conditional use permit case number 12-007, location southwest corner of Pike and South Elm Street, applicant Peter Burtness and Annie Roberts for the consideration of approval for the Pike Place Apartments. It became clear after the closing comments by committee member John Keane regarding the conversation of the existing power poles currently supplied to the residents currently living on South Elm Street and Park Place and Russ Court. Committee member Keane stated that he didn't think the conversion to underground utilities would be that much of a concern and that most people would prefer underground utilities to unsightly power poles. Now, on that particular place, we have five power poles surrounding the lot and a branch off that feeds that area of the area. So although I would agree with the statement that the power poles are more unsightly, we think that committee member Keane, and because of the lack of further input and concern from other committee members, completely missed our actual concerns of the residents affected by the approval of this project. As addressed before the committee by resident Larry Royal of Russ Court, the main concern of the residents is the personal cost and hardship of construction to convert existing residents to underground utilities, services that will be a direct cause of this project and the approval of the Planning Commission and the City of Arroyo Grande. Therefore, whereas construction of the Pike Place Apartments will be the cause of this conversion, and whereas the approval of the project to the Planning Commission and the City of Arroyo Grande would directly result in hardship to residents currently using these utilities now supplied by the existing power poles, we, the residents attached to the current supply, request a guarantee from the Planning Commission and the City of Arroyo Grande that all and complete costs of conversion of the residents affected be paid by the developer of the project or the City of Arroyo Grande. These costs would include any cost of conversion of the power poles, service connections to the residents, or metering boxes modifications to the properties, and trenching costs. The cost of replacing any landscaping, including any and all vegetation, grasses, bushes, shrubs, trees, sprinklers, drip and micro-watering systems, decorative lighting, installed electrical above or below ground, gas and water lines, or landscaping consisting of brick, block, or stone construction. Concrete work consisting of sidewalks, patios, driveways, all concrete flat work, and all construction that will be have to be replaced to original condition before construction or conversion. Patchwork of concrete and landscape is not acceptable. Sectional or complete repair is required. Also, the service connections to the house will be of new construction, in-wall service with no outside tubing or wiring. decision, be it a tax, added cost of property tax, assessment, levies, or expenses of any kind occurred by the homeowner, including upgrade charges by the utility suppliers related to this conversion. This will include all utilities and services supplied by the existing power lines to date. And on the page here, we have a section for signatures from the committee for an agreement on this request. And again, I tried to get this to you guys earlier, so this is it. So I don't know if I should give you a direct copy here or how.
I think so.
Okay.
Right over there.
Okay.
Thank you.
And then the only other concern we had that was brought up in the meeting was the way they were going to hook up the water, and they were going to put them on a Rio Grande water. I had to call to have them fix the coupler, but up to that point, it was painted right on there, AG Lopez Water, Lopez Lake. So I know that's a water main right there ending at Paul Place. So my question is, if you can put these people on a Rio Grande water, why can't we all be on a Rio Grande water? We're on Oceana water. We pay a higher premium. You know, it's like a double whammy for us. So we would rather be on AG water. So we do have that line. I don't know what runs down the other side of Pike, but I know on Elm, it does go all the way to Paul Place. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Kim Green. Welcome.
At the Pike Place Apartments, I believe it's unbelievably underparked. In fact, you have more parking at City Hall than they have. And we're looking at 28 units, guest visitors, maybe a laundromat there, who I'm not exactly sure. But you're much easier to park at your place. It's quite comfortable in comparison to when I matched the numbers and I measured them out. Yours is quite a bit larger. There's a 17 total. That's three on one side, 14 in the main, and you have 23 over there. So it's quite a bit larger. I would like to ask you to request of the builder that they increase the parking. I didn't see on the revised blueprints that they did anything really special for that green area, the common area. I didn't see any. I am concerned about moving the bus stop. If it's going to have a protective awning for weather, I want to make sure it doesn't block the line of vision from the driveway that is exiting onto the Pike. When I stand there and I look at where they plan to place it, let's just make sure that that's safe, please. I have some concerns about the structure itself. Mainly, I just am very confused why they don't want to add downspouts and gutters where the water would run off to the neighbors on Paul Place and onto Russ Court. It seems like a very simple fix to avoid any future problems with runoff. We average 4 feet below their top level there, and I'm hoping that they're going to excavate at least 2 feet. Elm underground, and it will go into that tiny little reservoir and eventually over into the basin. So I have those concerns, and if you don't mind helping me understand and improve upon those, that would be great. I'm not against the project. I just want it to be completely safe for everybody. Of course, I'd like to see it smaller. Anybody hear that? All right. Thank you very much, commissioners.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Do we know when we're going to hear the Pike Place?
It was continued to a date certain of August 21st.
August 21st. Okay, just to let everyone know, August 21st is when we'll have the next hearing. All right. And we have Ann McMullen.
He said he really wanted to be here, but he had to work tonight, and he wanted to let you guys know that he ended up having to drop the price of, he's selling because of this project, and he had to drop the price $24,000 yesterday because someone found out, one of the potential buyers who was pretty much okay with an apartment complex found out the density. And that was it. So he's recognized that he has to drop the price because of the intense density of this project. Anyway, regarding conditional use permit 12007 Pike Place Apartments. First, I'd like to give each of you a heartfelt thanks for considering this and hearing us, because we do have very real concerns. you'd be under pressure on the 21st and have to green light the thing without real time to review our concerns, because we feel we do have some legitimate concerns. Okay, density. As the commission is aware, 15 of the proposed units are not really two-bedroom units, but are creatively labeled three-bedroom units. The bonus rooms in the nearby condos, just over the hill, are 85 square feet, did not originally have a fourth wall, yet almost all were converted. I found out about one that wasn't. The bonus rooms in the July 30th revised plans are almost identical at 83 square feet, 2 square feet different. If the developer doesn't add the doors to the third bedrooms, as soon as the project is signed off, basically a rent-generating third bedroom. As three-bedroom apartments, 7.5 units are added to the project density, making the density of the project beyond maximum allowed for the site. The 15 units with the third bedrooms really need to be redesigned as two-bedroom units, meeting the density that was intended when this lot was zoned. We're talking intent here. The intent was two-bedroom units, and these are basically three-bedroom, 15 of them. The three-bedroom units aren't necessarily a bad thing, but please let's just call them what they are and use the appropriate numbers when calculating. I know that he has some loopholes here that you have to try to work with. Individual owner had to do the converting, not just a developer with a contractor who could go and close them off. Also, can somebody help me with where in the code it states that garages are not to be used as living areas? Can somebody find that for me?
I've got all the codes right here.
That's an aside. because this is Oceano. And I'm being realistic about the density. We're aware of the demographics of our area. We know, that will be up to the on-site manager to handle it. However, we would like to know. Trash. The drawings that came in on the 30th, the revised drawings, still show extremely inadequate. Is that it would take 4 of each. Is it 4 of each or 2 big ones of each?
Three yards,
until it's filled, and then they're 4 yards. Yeah. Okay. It's going to take a lot more than there's room for in the drawings. And we are asking that the trash be located either with the removal of Unit 14, and Mike can say whether the trash truck can make the turn. Mike Lynn will, he'll know whether, I sent him the drawings of the actual turning radius of the trash trucks. So he will be able to determine, can they make that turn on the inside corner? And we're asking you to please not allow people are going to have those trash cans with lids banging, etc. It's not just the trash trucks coming 3 times a week. It's... because we're not looking at some 70-some density. We're really looking at like 110 people. And most of the other people that in my community figure 130, I'm trying to I'll give you over-the-top exaggerated information. I'm trying to be really down-to-earth on this. And also keep in mind these are apartments, not condos. They have a higher turnover rate. Move-in, move-outs generate a ton of trash. So please, make sure that there's enough. Away from the street so that we can actually see the corner. So that when we come out our driveways, we can see the traffic coming around the corner. Those of us on South Elm, we won't be able to see if that thing's right at the street. It will be a visibility issue. That wasn't in my list, but anyway. parking. I've only got 2 things to go, parking and drainage, because others will be addressing, others have addressed utility undergrounding. The planned garages are just big enough to fit 2 cars, like Kim said, and how many residents actually park both cars in them? We know the reality. In the community where this project is located, even if the 3-bedroom units are redesigned as 2-bedroom units, six-bedroom units, the project is seriously underparked for actual parking needs. Please eliminate the four-space reduction and encourage the developer to please add more off-street parking than the minimum required by code. I know you can't, that you have some limitations there, but if you can just encourage it, it would be great. But you can reduce, can eliminate the four reduction. The parking, and keep in mind that the parking project for this project is supposed to stand on its own and not impact street parking. It will reflect poorly on the city planning to have the nearby streets parked full on both sides of the streets in all directions. And that was one reason we were concerned about sidewalks, because people will be going from their apartment across the streets in all directions. That live there in the surrounding area to not have a parking place for a repairman or a guest or whatever. So we're asking you to make sure this puppy stands on its own. Drainage. It's my last item. It's little. Okay. Is the permeable area prohibited from having a non-permeable barrier such as plastic between the sand and the rock? I'm thinking of the backyards on the south and west-facing parts of the building. That's the part where it was just a request for downspouts and gutters. The permeable area, if there's anything that prohibits them from putting plastic between the sand and the rock. And again, gutters and downspouts, I feel are essential. Even though it doesn't affect my yard, I still feel it's essential. And I'd like to know, did we understand correctly that runoff will be graded to the southeast corner and there will be a drain there capable of handling the volume, including the water that flows off the roofs at the outer perimeters and hopefully goes down downspouts and gutters? We want to be sure that pipe that's in that southeast corner, if it needs to be bigger, let's put it in the first place and not have to have a flood later. My husband and I tend to clear the drain of eucalyptus. Corner, we clear the eucalyptus leaves from that regularly, and we haven't had any real, as many, you know, real flooding problem. And then the city comes in the early morning. We're night owls. We get out there at night, move that stuff. And it works, but we don't really want additional water coming up over the curb if it can be prevented in the first place by just putting in a pipe that's big enough and an inlet that's big enough in that corner, if that's the corner that I understand correctly is the drain. And that's all for now.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you to everyone who is participating in their government. All right. Now we are moving on to written communications. We have one additional item that was received after agenda preparation, and it's an email dated August 5th, 2012, from Susan Flores to Teresa McClish regarding item 8A, and it's in opposition to the project. Is that all that we have?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, item 7, consent agenda, approval of minutes, recommended action is to approve the minutes of July. I did watch the entire tape of it, so I am eligible to approve the minutes as well, so we're going to go ahead with that. So, that being said, does anyone have any additions, corrections, deletions or questions?
Looking at page 3, the the third paragraph that begins the commission expressed concern. I was thinking it was more, these were all the items we discussed. Some of them we definitely were concerned about. Some we were more just inquisitive about. So I thought it might be better, rather than saying expressed concern, to simply say discussed the following, if that's okay. The commission provided the following. I just thought maybe we should stick in the word comments. Feels a project just to kind of clean it up. Those were my thoughts.
Okay. All right, so we will, on that third paragraph, the commission expressed concern, we'll just replace expressed concern with, replace that with discussed. And then the commission provided the following, add the word comments. Mm-hmm. All right, I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
Okay, I will move to approve the minutes as amended.
I'll second. All right, we have a motion and a second. All right, motion carries. We're on to public hearings. Item 8A, it's a continued amended tentative parcel map number 12-001 and amended planned unit development number 12-001. I'm adding one additional lot to an approved parcel map for a total of four lots on 4.08 acres in the Rural Residential Zoning District. Applicant Dave Daniels, location 250 Ridgeview Way. And the recommendation is that we continue consideration of the proposed project to a date uncertain. And unless anyone has a problem with that, I will entertain a motion to continue this project to a date uncertain. Yes, Commissioner Spurrell?
Yes.
And Commissioner Martin? Yes. All right, item 8B, plot plan review number 12-011, placement and use of three propane cylinder exchange cages in the Regional Commercial Zoning District, location 1168 West Branch Street, applicant Walmart. And may we please have a staff report?
Absolutely. Thank you, Chair Ruth, members of the Commission. As you mentioned, this is plot plan review 12-011 for the placement and use of propane cylinder exchange cages in the Regional Commercial Zoning District. And obviously, given the project location and the image shown, the applicant is Walmart. These cages will be placed outside of the front entrance of the store. If you're facing the Walmart entrance, it's to the left. So the Five City Center was actually approved by the City Council back in July of 1996. On July 10th, the Community Development Director approved plot plan review 12-001. It was reported to the Planning Commission via administrative decision on the 17th, at which time it was called up for review by a majority vote based upon the need for additional information. So a little bit about the project, as we've already mentioned multiple times. It will be three propane cages, exchange cages. There will be a total of 24 cylinders available for customers. Representatives will need to be in attendance to unlock the cages and exchange the cylinders for customers. So here's an image of the approximate location of where the cages will be. It'll be back up against this far wall about where this gentleman is standing on the left side of the main entrance underneath the front canopy and protected by the actual architectural bollards as well as the safety bollards. Now, in terms of the outdoor placement requirements, the California Fire Code actually regulates the placement of liquid petroleum gas, commonly known as LPG. There's exchange services to be located on the exterior of buildings. And this is a reason that Walmart has proposed them to be placed on the exterior. Now, it's worth mentioning that there's two different types of exchange cages. There's the traditional type, which I mentioned is the customer service representative is necessary to unlock and exchange the cages for customers. These are only available during store hours, and that, again, is currently proposed. Then there's an additional automated cages type, in which case customers can actually purchase and unlock individual cage doors without asking for assistance. Typically, these are available 24 hours per day, and this is an alternative for the commission to consider. historically exempt from CEQA per Section 15.311 of the CEQA guidelines regarding accessory structures. In terms of public notice, because the commission called the item back up for review, it does have to be publicly noticed and a public hearing has to be held. On Friday, July 27th, a notice of public hearing was mailed to all property owners within 300 feet of the site. Additionally, a notice was published in the Tribune as well as posted in front of City Hall, and staff has yet to receive any comments on this item. And that concludes staff's presentation. We recommend that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving plot plan review 12-00.
Do you have a size of the cages?
Yeah, it's approximately 10 square feet of ground space. It's basically about 3.5 square feet per cage itself. So for a grand total, 10 square feet.
You know, as far as the type of cage, whether it's automatic or having to get a customer service, does that
have an extra ground-mounted computer terminal where customers actually walk up and slide their credit cards and it prints out a little receipt and gives a special code that you punch into another keyboard, but really we're talking about a couple extra square feet.
And Walmart is requesting the other kind, is that correct?
They're actually requesting the type that a customer service representative is needed to come unlock them.
Okay. Teresa?
The only additional comment is the automatic cages are just a little more like accessory vending than the traditional type where you have to have service from inside the store.
Okay, thank you. All right, do we have an applicant to come up and speak on this?
Hello, my name is Jared Rindell. I'm the store manager of the Rio Grande Walmart here in town, and I think Matt said about everything. I've been in the store for 4 years now, and I get a lot of requests for propane exchanges in that area. I think the closest next one to us would be Kmart. I don't believe that they've filed for an application or have one that's even regulated correctly. So hopefully you guys approve it. I think a lot of times I send the people help out sales too in that area. So do you have any questions that I can help you with?
Let's see. Any questions? No, I don't have any questions either. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, I'd like to open this up to the public if anyone here has anything they would like to say on this matter. Okay, seeing none, I'll close the public comment and bring it back to us.
Lisa? I think it's fine. I don't have any issues with it.
Okay, Jennifer?
I don't have any concern with it. I'm if it matters, I mean, I think the traditional, I'm okay with either one, but is it on?
Yeah, I think so. Sorry. I'm okay with either traditional or electronic, but traditional.
And I think Walmart gets to choose whatever kind it wants. If it doesn't matter to us, it's a business decision on their part. So I have no concerns with this either. Okay. All right. There's no further comments. I'll entertain a motion.
Okay. I'll move that we approve a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rio Grande approving plot plan review case number 12-011 applied for by Walmart located at 1168 West Branch Street.
All right. Do I have a second?
I have a second.
Any discussion? All right. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Spiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
And Chair.
On to item 8C, conditional use permit number 12-009, establishment of a wine tasting area inside an existing retail store. The location is 132 Bridge Street, and the applicant is Gennaro Rosato. Staff report, please.
Thank you again, Chair Ruth, members of the Commission. This is conditional use permit 12-009. It will be the establishment of a wine tasting area inside an established home boutique store within the Village Mixed Use District. As you mentioned, it is located at 132 Bridge Street, and the property is zoned Village Mixed Use. Surrounding uses of that property are an auto body repair shop, retail uses, there was a plot plan review for partial demolition and addition in the rear of the structure, which was approved back in February and noticed to the Planning Commission. So in terms of the project itself, the applicant is proposing to establish a 100 to 150 square foot wine tasting area within the existing home boutique store. Proposed hours of operation are Monday through Thursday from 10 in the morning to 6 at night, Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sundays 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The applicant estimates that there will be one employee per shift and about an average of 10 persons per day actually coming to taste wine in that area. And there will be 6 on-site parking spaces provided. Staff had no comments on the project and recommended conditions similar to previously approved projects nearby. There was one a few years ago back in 2007 that was right next door, and it has since gone out of business. In terms of environmental review, the project has been determined to be categorically exempt per Section 15301 of the CEQA guidelines regarding existing facilities. And in terms of public notice, on Friday, July 27th, a notice of public hearing was mailed to all property owners within 300 feet, as well as being published in the Tribune and posted at City Hall. And again, staff has not received any comments. Permit 12-009. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Matt. Any questions? Jennifer?
Just that, Matt, the additions under construction, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So is this coming to us because it was added use that wasn't?
Correct. Staff did tell the property owner it would have been nice had we known about this and we could have done it all at once. However, we found out later that he wanted to open the wine tasting area, which does require a conditional use permit.
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa? No. Okay, I don't have any questions either, and I understand the applicant is not here. Your public comment and bring it back to us.
I don't have any concerns with it. I'm ready to move forward. Seems like a good fit. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I think it'll be a nice addition to the village. It seems like a good use for that property, so I'm ready to move forward as well.
Okay, and I can support it as well. Seems like a good use in a good location. All right, then I will entertain a motion.
I'll move the Planning Commission adopt a resolution of the City of Rio Grande approving conditional use permit 12-009 applied for by Gennaro Rosato, located at 132 Bridge Street.
I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Now on to our next item. Item 9, non-public hearing items. 9A is the plot plan review number 12-010, placement and use of proposed accessory structure for miscellaneous storage. Location is 124 West Branch Street. The applicant is Harvest Church. And once again, Matt, you're up for the staff report.
Thank you again, Chair Ruth, and members of the Commission. So this is the placement and use of a proposed accessory structure, also commonly known as a C-train, for miscellaneous storage on the property. As you can see, the property is located at 124. Is retail, obviously a church is on site, nearby restaurants and residences. A little bit of background about the project. It was actually reviewed by the Architectural Review Committee on July 2nd of this year. There were some concerns over precedent being set in the village and potentially citywide. This caused a motion to be passed recommending referral of the item to the Planning Commission. And the ARC members did vary in terms of their level of support for the project. One member was fully against it, and a few others were marginally against it, and some were supportive, just wanted to have the precedent checked by the Planning Commission. Foundation at the first improved portion of the site in an existing parking space. Just to give you an example of this, the actual lot depth is 660 feet measured from West Branch Street, and the container will be placed approximately 470 feet from West Branch Street. Additionally, an artistic mural will be added to the container to replicate nearby vegetation. This will help screen the container from view on site, try and blend it into the nearby surroundings. I do actually have a artistic rendering of that, which I'll pass over. The existing church being right here. Here's the entrance to the property, and this being the exit. The container will be all the way up here at the furthest improved portion of the site. Currently, everything beyond that is basically natural ground, and there is an old access road that is no longer there, but that doesn't really matter to this point. So in terms of neighboring properties, I did include these next two pictures in with the staff report. I realize that they can be a little bit hard to figure out what the point is. This photo is actually taken from the nearby, from the eastern properties where the in this photo is to show that these two areas above this white car, where you can kind of see white spaces, those are actually voids in the vegetation. Those would be areas that would most likely be seen by nearby residences. However, the higher up canopy is actually it's fairly thick, and staff believes that that will provide some vegetative cover to the container. And here's a picture from the site looking where the container will sit. So the container will take up this back portion of this image. And again, here is that one main hole in the vegetation from the previous image, and here's the secondary. Section 1604.070 of the municipal code actually defines structure and accessory structure. So according to the code, structure means anything constructed or erected that requires a location on the ground, including a building or swimming pool. That's why staff has been considering this an accessory structure, given that the original proposal was to build foundation and actually physically attach this container to the ground. And accessory structure, it's good to note, means a subordinate building or portion of a main building, the use of which is incidental, appropriate, and subordinate to that of the main building. So given the two definitions of structure and accessory structure, that's the way staff has been moving forward. One of the CEQA guidelines given accessory structures. Although no public hearing notice is required for this item, staff did send out courtesy notices to property owners to the east. Those went out on Thursday, August 2nd. To this time, staff has not received any comments on the project. And And that concludes my presentation. It's recommended that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving Plot Plan Review 12-010, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Questions, Jennifer?
Can you talk a little bit about the
review committee meeting, and it was solidified at that meeting that allowing, typically these type of containers are only permitted in the code. The only place they're talked about is under temporary uses for construction projects. But we've never had the proposal to actually place it on a foundation like this before. And so staff was a little bit concerned that allowing this going through, because it meets all the site development standards, there would be a proliferation of other people within the village and possibly citywide coming in saying, well, I'll attach a container to a permanent foundation and, you know, inside lot line or setbacks and all that sort of depth that would hide such a container to this extent. And so we've been going back and forth dealing with that issue of how can we basically kind of accommodate the applicants and allow them to, you know, have some storage space that they need, but only tying it to that fact. So the precedent setting would be, well, you let them do it, why won't you let me do it, kind of thing.
Okay. So any other accessory structures, be it a C-train or anything on built on a foundation would fall under the same
it actually can just be placed. However, anything over that does require a building permit, which this actually would, does have to be reviewed by the Architectural Review Committee through a plot plan review and ultimately approved by the Director of Community Development. So there is obviously one alternative, which is to allow the applicants to break up into much smaller kind of storage sheds, if you will, to be placed on the site. And that is one alternative to this.
I was present at the ARC meeting. I don't know if I should share my
question about the C-trains that have been used for temporary use. What's the longest period of time it's ever been approved for?
It can typically be approved up to 2 years without being reapplied for another temporary use permit. Or typically if the building permit / construction project stops before that 2-year mark, they are required to be removed. So it's 2 years or at the conclusion of the project, whichever comes first.
Do you know of any C-trains that are currently being used now for not just temporary, but just kind of permanently?
Staff doesn't actively go out and seek where these C-trains are. A C-train at the Oddfellow Hall for South County Historical Society to store sensitive documents and things such as that while they construct a permanent archive facility.
But it is temporary.
Yes,
then.
But it is temporary.
Okay. I would just add to that again, our code enforcement operates on the complaint basis, but in general, I would say that these types of containers will proliferate and they're popular to be utilized for storage. And so it could become problematic if they were allowed to be placed on a permanent basis. In that manner.
Don't go look at the high school. Okay. What other kinds of options did they present, if any, to ARC as far as screening it or not making it look like a C train? Or did ARC consider anything like that?
Yes, they did. And actually, the applicant will probably be able to speak to that better. However, there were several alternatives for screening noted, one of which was live vegetation placed around the outside and allowed to grow over the container to kind of conceal it. Another was actually putting up screening methods that were talked about at the ARC, according to my recollection. But the applicant, one of the applicant's representatives, has had extensive experience with these, and he could probably speak to more screening methods.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's all I have for now. Another question?
One more quick question. Is this required to go through, since it's more than 120 square feet, through building for review?
Yes. The size alone and the fact that it's going on a foundation would require a building permit.
All right. I'd like to invite the applicant up to the podium.
The concern of the neighbors, and so we took the time to meet with one, the only neighbor that has a balcony overlooking this parking lot is Robert Lowry. He's the owner at 180 West LaPointe, and talked with him this last week, and he received the notice from the city, and he's completely okay with the placement, whether it be temporary or permanent, or he's not concerned about it at all. And so he's the only person that can see it. So we are interested in making it beautiful. It's on our site, and so we don't want it to be an eyesore any more than anybody else. It is completely hidden from West Branch Street, and so we're just looking for an opportunity. Building, it's non-rusting. It's going to be tied to the ground. It meets and exceeds the CBC, the California Building Code. It's really a great product. We've looked around and we've seen these structures placed in other businesses that aren't so pretty. Adonis Interiors has a few of them on site. Farm Supply has a few of them on site, and they're not very pretty. We really want to make this look nice and do our best to accommodate the needs of the city. So, thank you. I think, Liam, did you want to add something about?
Wigeon, way up at Cypress Ridge. And yes, Matt said I've been in the business. I was in the business for a long time. I ran Transamerica's container leasing division for many years, and then I had my own companies around California and Hawaii. And the Corten steel boxes are really great because it's a process that was developed by U.S. Steel, United States Steel, back in the 60s. And they I'll make it a short version, but they mixed a lot of different things together. And the containers rust when they're scratched, but they only rust about a mil to a mil and a half. And then they're like a cut on your arm. It's called an annealing process. In order to do, my headquarters of my business was up in the Bay Area in Lafayette, and the folks in Lafayette and Orinda and Moraga would tell all of the contractors to rent containers from me, because we were really keen on the mitigation of how they looked and everything else. So we had a real good color scheme, and that's what, when I initially approached Teresa, I said, you know, it's important for us to mitigate how this looks, even though you really have to go out of your way to find it. But that's what we're doing. We're going to blast the container, we're going to prime it, we're going to paint it. And then Elaine McMillan, who's fairly well known as a we're really keen on making sure that we set an example, not only for our church, but for everybody in town. It's like, you know, let's do it the right way. A secondary backup position that I used a lot in the Moragas and Arindas and Lafayettes was to put up lattice work, redwood lattice work, with I'm 72. I get to forget once in a while. But it's a fast-growing plant, and it immediately jasmine. And you know, we're talking about 15-gallon plants. As Pastor Steve said, the California Building Code, which this, once we take it out of ocean cargo container service, it changes everything. There's a CSC plate on the back, which certifies it for sea service. When that expires, you can never put it back into sea service. So we're changing to an accessory building. CBC code, for instance, says, you know, 1 hour fire law. This exceeds that by a whole hour. You know, it's a 2 hour. On and on and on. So we really take it and change it from an ocean-going cargo container to a building. And we don't think it's a precedent in that respect. It's going to be tied to the ground and foundation and everything else. So I think that's about all I can say. If you have any questions, I'm more than willing to answer them.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
questions?
You.
Just that, is it going to be a single loaded from the end? Just, I've seen some that have multiple doors on the side.
We're going to have the double doors at the end, and then we're going to have a roll-up door put in on one end so that we can access it from both sides, because typically when you want something, it's always in the other end.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to put a nice roll-up door that's painted to match.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So you're going to put one on the front then,
yeah.
On the long side.
Right in here, towards the back,
mm-hmm.
And a couple of doors here. So that way, if we need to access it,
okay.
We don't have to crawl over.
Okay. So that was, Okay. So that was my question in terms of the length. Is it 45 feet? Because it seemed like they were 20, 30, 40.
The standard TEUs is 20 foot and 40 foot, and this is an unusual opportunity for us to pick up a 45 footer.
Okay.
They only built 3,000 in the world, and there's actually the company that's got it saying, okay, what are we doing? So, well, you know, this is important. We've got to go through the city. So. And that's important to us, too. We didn't just put it there.
So. Okay. So the parking spaces next to it will continue to serve there, even if nobody's there. Okay. I don't think I have any other questions.
Okay. Thank you. Lisa.
I thought at the ARC meeting that it was stated that even though it's going to be permanently affixed to the ground, there could be the potential that should the church, you know, move to another location, that it actually could be
exactly
unaffixed and moved, and that's still true.
It is. We would find areas for them where there was a lot of easements going on, like the city of Oakland and different places like that, where the property was unusable. And we went in and talked to different departments and said, we can put these containers on the ground, we can attach them to the ground, we have to move them. There's a way of going into on the corner casting, and that would be...
We need you at the mic.
You can take it.
We can see it from there.
Okay. Each corner has a corner casting, and that's how they tie them down on the ships when they stack them. Inverted, or some stainless steel cable sticking out of that concrete, put it down, go through with another piece of stainless steel cable, tie it, and there's some clamps that you screw on, and then you can cut the surface or use a welder on the surface, and nobody can get at it. So then if we need if we needed to move these, then we just simply come in and cut that, and it generated a lot of businesses in cities that had wasted property. So the use of the container is only limited by your imagination. It's amazing.
Okay, and I have a couple of questions as well. What is this?
It's called a sine wave. So instead of being a real boxy corrugation, it's a sine wave that's real gentle. And they use less steel, and it looks better.
Okay, so it is corrugated. It's used, obviously. That's right. What these...
Gently used.
And what was... Pardon?
Gently used.
Gently used.
We picked a good one.
Why did you decide to go with this container, since you're already building a whole foundation, instead of just building a traditional building?
That's a good question, because we're only putting a foundation on the four corners instead of a whole foundation. And so we'll pick it up and take it out.
Okay. Economically, this makes sense also? Big time. Okay. I think that is all. The redwood lattice you talked about. Would you just put that on one side, two sides?
I was really impressed with the, I don't remember his name, but seemed to be the spokesperson at ARC. I was really impressed that he had gone to the site and he had really looked at it and walked it and everything else, and he indicated that because of the, we were going to slide it in there, the foliage would come over on the top, foliage on the back end. So it was really really mature jasmine, get it up and running, or we would do this. And you know, just for the sake of we're all trying to work together in making the city as attractive as possible. If you folks decide that you would like to approve it, I would propose let's do this first, and then let's take a look at it. And if you want to do the jasmine, we'll work with you. We're fine.
Okay, one more question. I'm on one side of it. You said there's going to be a roll-up door.
Correct.
And that would be on one of the long sides.
That is correct.
The same side that we would talk about
yep.
painting or putting the lattice?
Redwood lattice would be up, supported on its own. We have access to it. So in other words, you've got it like this, and you've got the lattice work along here, and out here you come it out. And so you go around, open up the door, get the stuff, and go back.
Okay.
It wouldn't be the most convenient thing, but if that's what it takes.
Okay. Any further questions? All right. Thank you. We may have some more questions that come up later.
Oh, those are good questions. Thank you.
All right. This is not a public hearing item, but I did want to give people in the audience a chance to speak if they did want to.
Letting them talk through to see if there were anything missed. I think it's important to recognize that their goal is to come up with something that works for them and for the city. They certainly could do three or four 120 square foot structures there, and we wouldn't be here and they'd be moving down the road. But their goal was something that was economically feasible, potentially movable for them, and wanted to go through the proper channels and have everyone have a shot at talking about this. When I read through the findings here, one of the things that jumped out at me, which you sort of also caught on, was the precedent setting aspect. that this lot is unique in both the two zones and the fact that it's so deep, not visible from the street, that perhaps the wording could account for the uniqueness of the lot, so you're not facing the situation where people are coming up and saying, well, Harvest was able to do it, and keep bringing that in front of you there. The only other point would be that I think it's pretty clear that they're willing to accommodate whatever screening methods might be of interest. They felt painting was a good way to go. ARC thought landscaping, and I'm not sure that actually putting wood siding is the best approach for them, but other than that, I'm sure they're open to it.
All right. I would like to ask Lisa to give us a report of what went on at the ARC meeting.
I think most of it has already been covered. I know the ARC was very concerned about the precedent and that the thought that we might suddenly have these type of structures popping up all over the village or the city. They also were very concerned about the covering of it, which has been talked about. I think they were concerned that the mural would be that. I think the preference for them was real greenery rather than painted on greenery or a facade. And I think they also were very concerned about the neighbors, and it sounds like that was one of the things that presumably if any of those people had concerns, they would be here. So those were really the main points. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have, but I think that it's been covered by everyone else.
Okay. Are we ready to bring it back to us for comments?
Sure.
Jennifer?
Yes. Okay. I was not sure what this was going to be all about, actually, I have to say. I went out there today and went all the way back on the site and just looked around. I sort of see it, and that's why I asked about a building permit. I see it as a structure, whether it's a C-train or it's stick frame. It's not out on West Branch Street. I think it's serving a need. It's reusing a material. And it's doing it economically. They're becoming more and more popular. Maybe not in Arroyo Grande, but people are building homes out of these, and hotels. I even saw one that was kind of stacked up as a hotel. So I'm fine with it. I appreciate the presentation. I was a little concerned about the mural, but I think the box looks great as a box. So if it's done to that caliber, I think it'll be a nice addition. So thank you.
About the precedent, I would like to make sure that there's some way that we are able to review if more come up, that it's not just seen as, okay, we've given the green light to all future people who might want to use a structure such as this. I do think it's a very unique location. It's being done in a very thoughtful manner, which I think is good too. It does serve a need. The mural versus the greenery, it's hard to say. The mural does look nice on the box. It's hard to say when it's much larger. I like that they're cooperative and are willing to say, well, let's give the mural a try. And if it turns out it's hard to maintain, I think that was another issue the ARC was concerned about, what happens when the subject to just a check back or something in 6 months or a year or something, just to make sure that it really is working out the way we'd anticipated. And I do think that's a good idea to note the uniqueness of this particular lot and location for this type of use. But yeah, I would be in favor of passing it tonight.
So I guess I'm going to be in the minority. I do feel like there's a precedent that we would set here. I think a C-train looks like a C-train unless you can hide it. I don't think painting would make it look anything less like a C-train. building at the beginning of the village, for one. And I don't want to have that become a precedent, something that people say, hey, great, we'll just do this too. If it were completely screened some way, I'd be okay with it, you know, as long as no one could see it. A trellis, as long as it really completely screened it, would be okay with me, as long as it was maintained, the greenery was maintained. Siding, some kind of facade that screened it, all of that would be okay with me also. And I will cite findings for... and characterizing the period in history. I don't think a sea train in any way goes with all the rest of the buildings that are there. I mean, a sea train is a sea train. It's a new thing. It has nothing to do with history, and I don't think there's any way of making it look like it belongs there unless it is completely screened. So I would be in favor of, I guess, the lowest thing or the best thing I'd be in favor of that would also go along with what the church would like would be to have the sea train and I have a lot of experience with sea trains out at the high school. I was a band booster president, and we have a sea train out there, and they work great. I understand the economics of it. But in the village, in our town, I don't want to see them. So those are my comments. Any other discussion?
Is there a size concern on the size if it was smaller? I don't know what the...
No, I don't think any size of sea train to me that is visible as a sea train more discussion?
I would be in favor of having it screened as well. I'm okay with giving it a try with the mural, but I think it probably would look better with the screening. I'm not sure. I know there was some discussion as well at the ARC about putting how, because it is a concrete area and watering and things of plants, the trellis that would be there. And so I'm not sure if, I don't know if we want to invite anyone from the church back to talk about that. I don't know if they looked into that, if that was even possible or not.
I mean, I'm wondering. Some type of screening all the way around, and that the proposal would come back through ARC to be approved. Is that something that we could do?
Yes.
Okay. And then ARC could go over those details.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone willing to make a motion?
I'm just curious if there was another location that was talked about, or that behind that parking lot, it seems it's all pretty open, or on the back side of the tree. So,
actually, Commissioner Martin, I can actually... originally, when the applicants came in, we were talking about locating it up in this unimproved area. Currently, there is a lot of excess material that is stored there. However, this area back in here is more visible to this parking lot and the other, and in fact, the residences behind it than the proposed location. But yes, that another location was considered at one time.
Other options that, some alternatives that were put in front of us. to give the container an appearance of a traditional structure, approve the project with a horizon date of 3 years and a requirement of a bond to ensure removal like we do in other temporary situations, or approve the construction of a traditional structure in place of the storage container, or deny. So those are some options that staff came up with.
And in fact, Chair Ruth, if I may, the alternative with the horizon date and the bond to could come back in 3 years and reapply for the permit to continue that use. So kind of a horizon date that could be extended depending on how the use turns out and some of these other things.
Okay. Teresa.
Just one more thing to add, and I think you've mentioned it, and you're recognizing the concern in that you want to recognize the uniqueness of this particular lot in the village, that it has, it's a very lengthy lot. It can not affect the street facade if recognize that, point out the uniqueness and help you make the findings that are before you, would be important for you to ferret out in any motion.
All right, thank you. Though I would say, in my opinion, and you guys can discuss this too, I don't necessarily think that is a factor that would make me approve a C-train. The distance from the street, I still don't think I would not vote for approval.
If we screen the long side or the two sides, I guess, I don't know how you screen the side width of the door on it, on the end, but the long side, a trellis or something to that nature.
Yes, I could vote for that.
With the horizon date, I think maybe, I know it's a good idea to come back in 2 or 3 years for a reapplication. I like that idea, so we can actually see. And also, I think that might deter the precedential value a little bit, because then it's not saying we've given a, just green light for this. We're saying, okay, we'll look in 2 years and see if it's,
Okay, I move to make a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Arroyo Grande approving plot plan review case number 12-010 applied for by Harvest Church located at 124 West Branch Street with the condition that the structure be screened along its long end with a trellis and greenery, and that the specific plan for that be approved by ARC, and that we approve this applied for at the end of that 3 years.
Before we discuss, I'll second that. You said trellis. Could it be, I don't know what their intent is, but a fence? I mean,
any kind of the screening. Not necessarily lattice.
Well, sometimes my concern is a trellis maybe draws attention to something that you're not wanting to draw attention to. So it's almost, except for that one long side, you almost wouldn't even see it. So I just wanted to throw out there trellis or fencing or screen, some type of screen.
like a facade or?
No. That would be against my, no.
Against your architectural sensibilities?
Yeah. Just a fence or something. I could see a fence working maybe more than, there's a lot of greenery coming over the top. I could just see a fence working maybe better architecturally or at least aesthetically than a trellis, but just giving them the option.
Okay. To screen from view.
The long end.
Just, can we just say screen?
Mm-hmm.
And ARC, you know, you could work with ARC to come up with something suitable.
Okay.
I guess I don't want any.
That's an excellent idea, and I must say I really appreciate the effort that's being put in this. But I think it's an excellent idea, and I just talked to Steve, and I said, you know, I like that. Do you like it? And he said, yes. And you could basically do like a chain-link fence that would really hold up the vegetation, and it would just look like a fence.
Are chain-link fences are allowed there? Again, that would go through ARC.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to refer to ARC. Fencing, my concerns are fences can be of all different shapes and sizes, and certainly chain link. I would say just in terms of how your motion is forming, you're looking for complete screening. In this case, it's one long end because of the placement of the structure. But looking forward with other applications coming in, if you can include complete screening, that would be helpful. And fencing can be an alternative, but you'd certainly want to specify either decorative or planted or something that would... that would not just put a chain link fence around the container because you're certainly going to see through it.
Right. Okay.
That's a screen.
Or what else is there? Because of the greenery. Or greenery and fencing and or landscaping, but completely screened.
On the long side.
I'm going to say completely screened for precedence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And ARC can help define what that means.
On all sides? On the back side?
I guess because the back side to me is already screened.
No, I mean the door side.
The short end that has the double doors.
Mm-hmm.
They could screen it the same way they're planning to screen the roll-up doors. They could That's my motion. And do you agree with that as a second?
I just wonder if, not to be rude, but just completely screened, then just enough information?
I think
with the subject to the ARC approval, because then that leaves it to them to say if it looks nice or not, as opposed to just...
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think I understand your concern. That's maybe...
Better ways to skin a cat,
mm-hmm.
Whatever.
I think subject to ARC approval might... All right. Have a roll call vote, please.
Chair Ruth?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
And Commissioner Sperber?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, and good luck with this. All right. We're on to item 10, Notice of Administrative Decisions. We have two items, administrative decisions, PPR 12-014, Pismo Coast Association of Realtors, a change in use from restaurant to office, and TUP 12-017, Victory Outreach Church, Five Cities, a fundraiser barbecue.
recently that was after agenda went out. And that was for, at the last meeting, Commissioner Barnich brought up the infrequent barbecues down at the Log Cabin Market. We approached the operators of Log Cabin Market and said, you know, we do have to do a temporary use permit for this. So the community development director did approve a temporary use permit for barbecues 2 days a week for the next 2 years to allow them to continue to do interior improvements to allow food service. And it does have conditions of approval that mandate performance standards. And if it's found that it does not comply with performance standards, the permit can be
correspondent comments is presented by the Planning Commission. Does anyone have any items?
I was at the ARC meeting yesterday as well. I had double dose this summer. And just to let you know that the building next to JJ's, we had sent it to ARC to approve the materials, and I think that was done yesterday. So it looks like that's moving ahead. I think that was the only real item that might be of interest to you. That's all I have.
Thank you. And staff communications.
One follow-up item, again, following last commission meeting, Commissioner Barnich asked about the tree removal that has occurred on the lot. Project changed ownership over a couple times. New owner would like to build a commercial structure and is trying to attract a commercial tenant there. We have issued grading permits and a minor exception for wall height to allow that property to be graded so that it's it can be easily determined the site size and what types of structures could go there. And that project is proceeding. There was some tree removal, some in conformance with what was previously approved years ago with a different type of project. There was one oak removed, approved with that grading permit, mitigation to occur with the whatever incoming project hopefully comes in and will come before you.
Thank you. And this brings us to adjournment. I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you very much.